2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 again. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. And therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, it is fascinating to how Satan does this. Because Satan doesn't use the bars and the alcohol necessarily to just distract you. He can use religion to distract you. And what I mean by that is you can't do, go if you will, to Acts chapter 10. I went right over it. We may get halfway through this sermon. And Titus chapter 3. You can't do these two passages or believe them at the same exact time. And that's the problem with faith. Faith has to be anchored down. You have to know what you believe. Now watch. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preaching. Watch this. And he's preaching, by the way, to a Gentile. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, fear him and what? Worketh righteousness is accepted. What happens if you don't fear him or don't work righteousness? You're not accepted. I mean, that's just real clear English. That's not difficult. And so if I started preaching that kind of message, I could preach that in the Bible. But today, it would be incorrect. It would be today damnable doctrine. It's not that God damned anybody to hell. It's just he never intended that to be for you. You understand? What he intended for you was your apostle, Paul, to the Gentiles. Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now, this isn't complicated, but your faith is anchored on one or none of these verses. It's not anchored on both of them at the same time. You would literally be confused. Your faith would be shaken. Someone texting me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Paul preaching to you, Gentiles, not by works of righteousness which we've done. Well, hold it. In Acts chapter 10, it said it was fear God and by the works of righteousness we were accepted. Amen? Amen? So now think about faith. All of it's out of the Word of God. One sentence right now would cause you to have problems. The other would establish your faith. You got it? You can't do both of those passages at the same time, and therefore you run into some problems. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, another passage. Just to reiterate. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Everybody help me out. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, it was clearly, if you put Acts chapter 10, 35, that is clearly a diametrically opposed verse. Well, if you believe them at the same time and think you can do them both at the same time, you're crazy. But if you hear both of those verses and say those don't make sense, you're on your way to starting to establish faith. So it's not just faith, it isn't just words of God at any point. It's the words of God that God wrote to you. You got it? It isn't just the Word of God that gets... For example, go to 2 Chronicles. I've heard this so much until... I've heard this verse so many times used. And here's the problem. That verse would never establish your faith. that we're about to read. 2 Chronicles 7. Ah, you already know it. How come we know those verses? Because they drive them home in the churches, and yet what happens is we build our faith on something that is sinking sand. You want your faith to be on the rock or the doctrine God gave you. If my people, Israel, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Now I heard that.
Wasn't me.
Was that you?
I was getting a text from the media room.
Turn your volume off.
I did.
Turn it down.
I did.
Okay.
The text volume is loud. I don't know how to turn it down.
You need iPhone instructions?
Probably.
Okay.
Just cut the sound off.
You cut the sound. If you'll put the sound all the way down, it won't ring.
Cut the sound off.
Just on the side, right here.
I did.
Okay. What were they saying to you?
We were having a lighting problem.
This wouldn't have happened back in 1850 when they didn't have the iPhone. Mine just vibrates.
All right, let me get into my settings.
All right, thank you. And if it's about football, I want to make sure these texts are about the broadcast.
Media stuff.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You know what? That won't work for you. That wouldn't establish your faith, thinking in some future deal that God was going to forgive your sin. Look what God said to you in Colossians. Amen. Good. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and look in verse 13 and 14. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? How many?
All.
How about if you pray? They're already forgiven, guys. Your sins are done. They are never been the issue. Jesus Christ, the good news that Paul brought to us is that Christ died for our sins. Well, if you were Satan and you wanted to keep people blinded and dumbfounded at what was going on, what would you do? Put them in other books and keep them away from Romans through Philemon. You got it? That's how Satan would work. Because they'd say, oh man, I'm really feeling you. They would feel the spirit of Cain. I'm really doing something for the Lord. You got it? They would feel like, hey man, I'm burning it up for the Lord. And I can tell you for a fact that's the way it is. And Satan has done a great job. And so you ask someone to turn to Philemon and they go, where is that in the Bible? Or turn to Ephesians. I'm not sure, is that in the Bible? But if you turn them to 2 Chronicles, boy, they're going to turn right there and they're going to turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And their faith is built on the wrong portion of the Bible. Thus, their faith is vain. You know what? And there's a lot of vain believers. Say, are they sincere? Yes, they are. But here's the problem with sincerity. You can be sincerely wrong. So, well, I don't like that. Well, then you'll have to take it up with God. The realization is this book has to be rightly divided for you to get the truth out of it for your salvation. Now, I'm going to show you why God kept it a secret. And most of you all know this, but just for some of the new people, let's try this. Go to Romans 16 and look why God kept it separate. See, your faith can't be just established in the Word of God. It has to be established in the right part of the Word of God. You got it? In Romans 16, Verse 25, the Bible says this. Now him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and on and on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. And Satan has played the play of faith on and trumped most of the Christians today, because I would say that a lot of people today are what we would call lost believers. You got it? They believe in Jesus Christ in some vague and ambiguous way. They don't really understand a lot about it. I mean, how many here believed in Jesus Christ before they got saved? Raise your hand. Everybody. So what was the difference between that and your salvation? Now remember, you're saved by grace through faith. Through what? Faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith that they're talking about isn't even your faith. It's the faith of Christ. Now, you've got to understand this, because let me tell you, all this was kept secret since the world began. 1 Corinthians 2 explains why. Watch this. Howbeit we speak wisdom, verse 6 there, just in case your ESP is not working. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what?
Mystery.
In a what?
Mystery.
In a what?
Mystery.
Mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world on our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, the what? The mystery of verse 7 there. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So whatever Paul got over here about sin, God made his son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How many sins are in the world today? How about the whore?
Zero.
How about the drug dealer, Joe Glenn? Zero. I didn't meet one of those until, well, no, I've met a few in my life. Not recently, though. And not nearly as many as good-looking and debonair as Joe Glenn is. Most of the ones I had were kind of hippie kind of guys. How about the drug dealers?
Zero.
How about, hey, this one's a tough one. How about the pedophiles?
Zero.
See, that news of grace, whether we like it or not, we don't have the right to extend it to who we want. It's extended to all. And I'm not thinking, I'm just puffing. You got to think about that for a minute. God's grace extended to everybody, and their sins are already covered. Most churches teach you the doctrine of confessing your sins. Well, that's great, but confessing your sin, you're thinking because you're confessing it, you're forgiven. Yeah, but even more than that, I mean, just thinking on a practical level. I use this illustration of a boxer. And this manager puts this boxer into a rough fight, and the boxer gets the tar beat out of him. So he comes back and he beats up his manager and hits him 50 times. And the manager realizes, man, look, I want you to forgive me. I didn't mean to put you in that fight. And that big old boxer said, I want you to forgive me for hitting you. He said, it's done. Forgiven. They get out to eat, and that big old boxer starts to cry. I took acting classes. And the manager says, what are you? He said, I want you to forgive me for number 7. When I hit you number 7, I want you to forgive me. He said, well, you didn't really believe me. I said I forgave you of all of them. And when you start asking for forgiveness, you're not really believing God has forgiven you all. You believe it's something you're doing on an ongoing basis. You got it? And you either believe that, or you believe they're completely gone. It is not an in-between type deal. You got it? And so that's how faith is. But Satan would be so fantastic if he could just keep you out of this little mystery part. Right? And get you thinking it's something about you doing it, because he said it's by, God said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. God's saying it's nothing about you. It's all about my son. Well, wouldn't that be great if Satan could get his son off the emphasis and put all the emphasis on you? You walked the aisle for Jesus. You said the sinner's prayer. You know, you confessed your sins on a regular basis. All those actions are actions out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they make the cross of Christ of none effect. And so your faith being established in the wrong thing. And that's why, look in Romans chapter 12. There has to be a renewing of your mind. When you're saved, hey, listen, I'm going to show you what Paul did. He counted it all but dung. You can't keep the knowledge. You know what? Listen, how many here read John 14, verse 1, 100 million times? You know? We'll read it, huh? Anybody can quote it? Keep reading, you know, the next one. And we thought by that passage we were going to walk the pearly, go in the pearly gates and go through the streets of. And we all thought we were going to heaven. Do you realize that nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is going to heaven? Hello? Not one person except Jesus Christ went to heaven. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were being resurrected into life to walk into a kingdom here on earth. That's why Lazarus didn't freak out. You know, if Lazarus expected to go to heaven by all that doctrine, he'd have come out of the grave, and as soon as they uncovered him, he would have gone, ah! Because he was still on planet earth. Amen? But he saw all the buddies he thought would be there. Was that a shock or what? No, it wasn't a shock at him at all. He expected to be resurrected on for the land into the kingdom as a priest. No shock to him. You know? Now, if you wake up after dying and you're on the land, you're in deep doo-doo. Because every one of us, we're leaving the planet. The only people in this Bible, listen to me very carefully, the only people in this Bible that are going to heaven is in that circle time called the church, the body of Christ. That's it. Your hope isn't the same as Israel's hope. You heard that song? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Not bad, okay. I practiced that 12 million times before I got up here. There's a big city coming down. You know what? Abraham looked for that city. You know why he lived in tents? Because he said God's going to bring a city. He's looking for a city to come here on earth. They never expected once to leave. And yet we go to John 14 thinking we're going to heaven. How many thought that at one time, honestly? Yeah. And those people were never going. See how that can destroy your faith? That would destroy your faith. You start to wonder, well, what is God up to? And my job is to establish your faith. Make sure you can stand on the verses. Verses I tell you can stand on, bless God, you can stand on. You got it? But the verses that weren't written to you, you can read and read and learn, but you better not stand upon them if their promise is not made to you. Where was I turning? There's some good drugs, man.
Romans 12.
Thank you. I had it, but I couldn't remember what I was thinking. I'm sorry. I'm a little normally a little more sharp than this, but Joe Glenn wanted to see how funny this would be. I do feel much better though. You guys don't even know.
We can tell.
Oh, can you?
I can.
I'm not addicted to painkillers yet, but I could be.
Which half of the brain is not working?
I'm not sure. I beseech you, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. For what reason? That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's my job. It's to prove to you that you can't do the whole Bible. I believe in the whole Bible. I believe the whole Bible is God's holy word. I believe every word in it. I just don't believe all of them are written for me to do. You got it? And the realization is when you start to study this Bible and you start to compare Scripture with Scripture, you start to realize, hey, you know, I want to know what's for me. Well, you know what? I've prayed in Jesus' name and prayed and prayed and something didn't happen. Then either God lied in John 14 or it wasn't written for me. You got it? Over here, if you pray in my name and seek my prayer and confess your sins, then I will forgive you. Over here, he says he's already forgiven you. It's already been done 2,000 years ago. And so learning to establish your faith in the right portion of the Bible is really the key of understanding the whole deal. You got it? Now, you know, it's easier. Everybody says, well, I believe in the whole Bible. It's one gospel, one Bible. And that's great. How come you're not committing the blood sacrifices that God told somebody to do in Leviticus chapter 1 through 7? He definitely told somebody to do that, amen? And they took their wee little lambs. You saw them. Hey, Jacob, what you doing? I'm going to the temple. What for? He was offering blood sacrifices. I don't take anything. Jesus Christ went to that cross for me and became the sacrifice for me, which nobody knew. Had they known it, they would not have what? And so he kept it a mystery. And so unless your faith is based upon that, have you ever heard preachers go, after you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, find a big Bible-believing church and be baptized and all those kind of things? Have you heard those kind of statements? Yeah, you hear them all the time. You know why? They're trying to mix the two together to make it merge as one. But what God really wanted done was to divide the Scriptures so that you could find the doctrine given to you, the church, and be established in that. And once you start to understand that, things start making sense. For example, take Luke chapter 12. Luke, I'm your father. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Take both of those passages. Huh? Luke 12 and 2 Corinthians 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. The Bible says this. Sell that you have. Have you done that? No, but he told somebody to do it. Amen. And give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I've heard all kinds of people try to get around this, that it's all about your heart, you know. You've got to spiritually sell out in your heart. Well, the people that heard them, guess what they actually did? They sold out. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And Acts chapter 4, verse 31 through 36. They literally did it. You know what? They were the closest. They understand him to mean it literally. But you know what? How could you do that at the same time you're following the instruction of your apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14? Watch this. Get your Bible pen out. You're going to want your Bible pen here. This is very, very important. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come unto you, or come to you, I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Did Paul tell you to lay up?
Yes.
Bad answer. You failed. Did Paul just tell you to lay up for your children?
Yes.
For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. That's laying up money. Well, how do you lay up money at the same time you're selling out? That's difficult, isn't it? Your faith will be established on one or the other. You got it? It isn't going to be established on both. You all with me? So faith isn't just something that you hear. You got to hear the right faith. That's why many of us, and Doris is one of the few people I know that was baptized by Brother Moore. Now, you know he wouldn't baptize you now because his faith changed. Say, well, my faith won't change. Probably will if you study this Bible. If you get your nose in the book, it'll probably change. See, I believe a lot of things out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that I heard time and time again. But you know what? If all I heard was those things, I'd end up in hell. Because the gospel isn't even presented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have a clue what was going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the cross. The only person in this Bible who had a clue was Paul, and he wrote it down in the books of Romans through Philemon. When you start to read that, your faith starts to open up, and your faith is now anchored, and guess what? You're not tossed to and fro. Go to Ephesians. We're going to have to end here pretty quick. Shame, because I'm actually feeling good now. You'd let me go on and preach? Well, I tell you what, I would normally do that, but I think I'm going to go home and go to bed. I may need someone to drive me home, but I'm willing to go. Man, I got to get me some of these. These aren't mine. These are someone else's. I'm going to get some of these. These were better than mine. Oh, you told me not to say that. Brenda's trying to straighten me out because I'm like, I shouldn't be taking other people's drugs. But if you got any, I'm hitting you up for them now. You guys are a happy crowd today. I'm happy as you are. And I don't have any teeth. I asked whose teeth these were that they gave me. She said, well, I don't know. We had to look at four or five corpses to find the right color of teeth. Yikes! What? Are you... Miss Hampton, would you like to come up here and preach a little, or since you're interrupting me?
Somebody's asking her a question about your teeth.
It was me.
Don't
what,
blame her.
What? I would never blame you either, Doris. What were you asking? Maybe I can answer it.
Well, you was taking most of it. Yeah.
And for $29.95 donation to the church.
Are we on the internet?
Well, they can get some too, but there is $39 because we have to add shipping. No, I'm kidding. Have your teeth yanked out and I'll tell you what's going on with you. You'll get a good hint. I mean, I said, slow down on the cracking. It sounded like you cracked a lot more than there were there. She said, I've got the right amount. I said, what happens if this thing doesn't fit after you get them out? She said, we're in deep trouble. Ephesians chapter 2. 3 actually is what I want. I want to start in verse 9. This is the commission to the church today. The Great Commission. You all know the one I'm talking about that they preach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is not for you. You with me? Your commission is this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who hath created all things. What were their commission to do? Go to Matthew 28 and look in verse 19. You can go there too, but we're going to go to Matthew 28. You can go to Mark. Verse 19, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I would put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John there. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. They were to take the gospel of the kingdom and preach it into all nations. Go to Mark 16. Look at this. Man, there is no way that these are the same, boys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen, I would conclude to you that in our last minute, that if your faith is built on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're probably sitting here lost. But if your gospel is the gospel of Paul's, uniquely different, hidden, it was a mystery. Look at this, verse 15, Mark 16, 15. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, what happens if you're not baptized? See, that isn't true of us. And he that believeth shall not be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And it didn't say one of these signs or maybe a couple of these signs. It said all these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Are they going to get sick and recover? Didn't say that. But your commission is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And you can't do that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Your faith would be that on sinking sand. My recommendation is take your faith and anchor it on the rock. And that rock is the words of God written to you Gentiles in Romans through Philemon. All the Bible is written for your learning. You should be able to learn from every aspect of the Bible. But the doctrine for the church is Romans through Philemon. You got it? Now that's all you get for that.